Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a great week so far. It's Monday, 6:30 p.m. here on the East Coast in New York. And joining us today is Dr. Peter Kehoe. We're just waiting for Dr. Kehoe to get onto the line here, and we'll be all set. Hey, Dr. Kehoe, did you have a chance to call in yet? Dr. Kehoe, did you call the number yet?
Yes, Dr. Kehoe, this is Rob. Did you call the number?
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Kehoe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Rob.
And again, for everyone just joining us now, this is Rob May with CMC Radio, and tonight we're featuring Dr. Peter Kehoe. Please, Dr. Kehoe, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, and, you know, your background, upbringing, and kind of, you know, how you got to where you are today.
Okay. Well, my parents were Irish. They were both Irish. They were both university graduates. My father had a degree in civil engineering, and my mother had a degree in chemistry and biology. And after graduation, they married, and they moved from Ireland, where they had grown up, to England because job opportunities were better there. And consequently, I was born shortly afterwards in England. But once I was born in England, they decided to move back to Ireland, and my brother was born in Ireland a year later. We moved as a family. Then we moved to Nigeria when I was 3 years old.
Oh wow!
My father had been offered an exciting job there by the government, which was basically British at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 years in Nigeria, we returned to Ireland. And my father was offered an attractive job by the local government in County Kerry in Ireland, which is the most southwesterly part of Ireland. So I went to primary school, you know, kindergarten through eighth grade in Tralee, County Kerry, and then I went on to a boarding school, which is quite common in Ireland. And so I went to a school that was known as Cistercian College, Ross Grey, a secondary school. I mean, it went, you know, 7th grade to 12th grade. And basically it was run by monks with teachers as well. The lay, you know, many of the teachers were lay teachers, but some of the monks taught in the school. But it was attached to a monastery. So anyway, I went to boarding school there, and I had really excellent teachers, and I did very well at school. I got first place in Ireland in the National Intermediate Certificate exam, where every kid in 9th and 10th grade, you know, has to take this exam. So I did well on that. And then after graduating from high school in 1961, I went to University College Dublin, which is part of the National University of Ireland. There are four colleges. Dublin's largest one. I went there to study engineering, and after first year, you know, you choose which branch of engineering you want. So I chose to study chemical engineering, and I was a good student. I graduated first in my class, the first class honors.
Not
in,
bad.
In 1965. No, I was lucky and I was good, I guess. So,
but
anyway, I stayed on at UCD for a fifth year because my girlfriend to whom I was engaged at the time had another year. She was a year behind me at college. So I stayed on and I did a master's degree there in that fifth year. And when the year finished, we got married. And I had applied to university to go to graduate school. And I was lucky I'd got into MIT and Caltech and Texas and Berkeley and Yale. And I chose to go to Yale. I had, I'd gone out to the embassy, the U.S. embassy, and, you know, the fellow I spoke to was a Yale graduate, and he told me that, you know, Yale was a great place and I should go there. And, of course, I knew it was an old and respected university. And, sure. And I also knew that it had it was the first university in the U.S. to have a chemical engineering department, which I'm sure is surprising to a lot of people. But anyway, so I applied there for a research fellowship, and I got it. So I had also applied to other places like MIT and Caltech and Berkeley and got in there as well, but I chose to go to Yale. I got married, and we moved to New Haven. And that was 1966, and I got my PhD in 1970. And at that point, my wife and I, we had two kids. We had two children born in New Haven. My wife and I returned to Ireland in 1970, along with the two boys that had been born in New Haven. And I went back and had a research fellowship at the University College Dublin, which is part of the National University of Ireland, where I had done my undergraduate degree. The university had offered me a postdoctoral fellowship. And a year later, after that, after I made a presentation about my doctoral research at a conference in Manchester, I was offered a research fellowship in Cambridge University by a professor who had attended the meeting. So I was delighted to go to Cambridge. My brother had gone to Cambridge to do his PhD. But anyway, I, in 73, I went there, and while I was at Cambridge, I made a presentation about my doctoral research in the international conference in Brussels, and I was approached then by a DuPont research fellow who invited me to come to Wilmington, Delaware for a job interview. So I did, of course. I had great respect for DuPont, so I came to Wilmington. Sure. And was offered a job as a research engineer in chemical engineering at the DuPont Experimental Station in Wilmington. So, you know, I accepted the offer and began a 42-year partnership with DuPont. I mean, I worked for DuPont as an employee for 31 years, and then for 11 years after that as a consultant. So that's, that's the beginning of my, that was the beginning of my career.
Well, sure.
And I mean, and of course, so I had a very interesting and fine career at DuPont. I mean, if you wish, I can tell you what I did, but.
Well, I'm curious, actually, if we could take a step back. So what was it particularly about chemical engineering that was, you know, most intriguing to you, and why did you choose that above everything else, the other?
Well, in our first year in engineering, you know, we got a little bit of exposure to civil engineering, you know, which is building roads and bridges and that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and chemical engineering. And they even had started up an agricultural engineering group. But chemical engineering it seemed to me the most attractive. It was new also. It was relatively new in Ireland. People were beginning to move into Ireland and build chemical factories. The Irish government, you know, gave grants to foreign companies to come in and establish companies because they were most determined to provide jobs for Irish university graduates and Irish people, so that Irish people weren't having to leave Ireland to get jobs. So In the first year, the first year at university, everybody was the same in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a little bit of exposure to what was going to happen in mechanical engineering, what would happen if you went into electrical engineering, civil engineering, you know, where you were going to build roads and houses and bridges and that sort of stuff. And or agricultural engineering, where this was brand new, where they were going to do some engineering on farms. But it just seemed to me that chemical engineering, which was, you know, was going to allow me to move into the chemical industry, was the most interesting. So I signed up for chemical engineering. And they only took 12 people into chemical engineering each year. They probably took 35 people into electrical and 35 into mechanical and 35 into civil engineering. And I think they only took 5 or 6 into agricultural engineering. But it was,
wow.
It was a small, you know, the people who were studying chemical engineering, there were only 12 people every year. And so you got to know everybody. And, you know, we had professors who, you know, had been to the U.S., had been to university in the U.S. I mean, they were Irish, but they had been worked in England and worked in the U.S., and they were, you know, very familiar with what was the latest thing in chemical engineering. So it was a very interesting 3 years. The first year, we were all just doing engineering, mathematics and chemistry and physics and so on and so forth, and then we moved into one of the divisions in our second year. So that was basically my story about how I got into chemical engineering.
Very cool, very cool. And so, you know, when you were in school, were there any sort of, you know, moments that kind of tested you that, you know, made you think, all right, yeah, this is definitely where I'm going. I made the right decision. I mean, did you ever doubt yourself in school as to, you know, what career path you were choosing?
No, I was very, very happy with it. I mean, it was all interesting.
That's great.
It was stuff that was interesting to me. I mean, my father had been an engineer, but he was a civil engineer, and so from the very beginning, I found this interesting and exciting, and had a lot of fun. You know, we had to work hard, but it was a lot of fun.
Sure. Absolutely.
So
where did you go then after jumping ahead a little bit now? So you were with DuPont for 11 years, was it?
Oh, no, I was with DuPont for a long time. Well, the next thing I did was I decided I was going to go to graduate school. I mean, I did a master's degree because my wife-to-be had another year to go in college.
Right.
So I did a master's degree at the university in Dublin. And then I applied to a bunch of universities in the U.S. that were in chemical engineering. And, you know, I was very fortunate. I mean, I had graduated first in my class with first class honors, so that helped. But, you know, I got into, I mean, I applied to Caltech and MIT and the University of Pittsburgh and Berkeley and Yale. And I got in everywhere. I mean,
yep.
I got in everywhere I applied. And, you know, I ran into some people. I mean, I only knew about these universities, you know, by reading. I had never been to the States at this point. But my father was an engineer, and he ran into some people from New York who said to him, you know, Yale is a great place, you know. So I decided I would go to Yale. And so I did. I went to Yale and took 4 years to get my PhD, and I made a lot of friends. George Bush was my friend. George Jr. was my friend. You know, I was captain of the rugby team at Yale. I had been a good rugby player in Ireland, and when I got to Yale, I saw they had a rugby team, so I played on it, and George played on it, so we became good friends. And so I had a very interesting time at Yale. I mean, we were. Well, you know, I was married. We had a couple of kids, you know, the first couple of years. But it was just a very nice place to be. And the university, the engineering department in the university was, it had some of the classical things like chemical engineering. electrical engineering, but it was really into applied science. The chemical engineering department was really the only one that was classical engineering. So they only took in 4 graduate students every year into the graduate school into chemical engineering. The other divisions, took more. But so we had a lot of close personal attention from the chemical engineering professors. So it was a very, very pleasant place to work. I mean, we worked very hard, but it was a lot of fun. And believe it or not, Yale was the first university in the U.S. to have a chemical engineering department. Long before MIT and Caltech. But of course, Yale is a very old university, so they had that advantage. But I hadn't appreciated that it was the first chemical engineering department in the U.S., but
sure.
I learned that it was. So I had a very good time there. And then when I finished, I wasn't allowed to get a job in the U.S. because I was on an exchange program between the U.S. government and the Irish government. Uh-huh. So I had to go back to Ireland. So I did. And I was offered a job, a postdoctoral research job at the university in Dublin, which was fine. I went there and I did some research, and that worked out very well. And then I gave a talk. I was invited to give a talk at Manchester, the University of Manchester, and I went there and I gave a talk. And this fellow came up to me afterwards, and turned out he was a professor at Cambridge University in England. And he asked me whether I'd like to apply for a fellowship in the chemical engineering department at Cambridge. And I said, yes, I would. And my brother had gone to Cambridge to do his PhD, and he was a chemical engineer also. And so I knew, I had been to Cambridge, and I knew that he had enjoyed his time there. And so I went there, and it was a fellowship that was sponsored by ICI, which is a big chemical company in England. So I was there for 3 years, I think. I think I was there for 2 years. And at that point, I decided it was probably time to try to get back into the U.S. because I was, I had been very enamored of the U.S. while I was here. I had a great time at Yale, and I thought the U.S., obviously was a great country with an industry that was growing. After I got back to Ireland, and after I did my stint at Cambridge, as it happened, I was giving a talk at a conference in Brussels, and I met a guy from DuPont, an engineer, a fellow who was in the engineering department at DuPont, and he said to me, "Hey, you should come to DuPont. I can arrange to get you an interview," and so on and so forth. So DuPont invited me to come and be interviewed, and I came, and they offered me a job. So I said,
"Very cool."
I took it, and so we moved back to my wife and I and the kids. We had 3 kids. We moved back to the States, and came to Wilmington, Delaware, and I started out in the engineering department of DuPont. They had various divisions, but they had a chemical engineering group, and I started up there and got promoted pretty quickly, and I was made a research supervisor after a year, and then a technical superintendent after another couple of years, and assistant to the director for a year or so. And because the engineering department did sort of contract research for other divisions of the DuPont company, you know, it gave you exposure to all sorts of technologies and so on and so forth. So, but anyway, after a couple of years there in the, I think 3 or 4 years in the engineering department, I was contacted by one of the other departments and offered a job as a technical superintendent down at a plant in North Carolina. And it was a polyester plant, polyester intermediates plant. So I went down there and worked there for a year. And the year after that, I was offered another job. I was asked to come to move over to the Kevlar business. You know, Kevlar was
sure.
a relatively new fiber and, you know, a growing fiber and had a lot of potential. So I moved. I worked in the polymer intermediates and in the polyester intermediates plant. And then after that, I moved to Richmond to work in Kevlar. And I became the technical superintendent there. We were building a new plant and installing new technology for Kevlar. It was a very exciting time. I had really terrific people working for me, you know, people who had been professors in Poland and had just left Poland and come to the U.S. and came to work for DuPont.
Sure.
So very brilliant people. So I had a great time at Richmond. We were there for... We were there for 3 years, and then I moved back to Wilmington at that point to take on various other jobs. And so over time, you know, I had lots of different jobs in DuPont. I mean, I became a product manager, you know, where I was working in the polyester business as the product manager for polyester, which was sort of the planning manager, and after a while, I was offered a job as the technical director for the polyester business, and then the polyester and the nylon and the lycra business. So I became a technical director, and did that for a number of years, and then I moved into marketing, became the product manager for the polyester business, and then was offered a job as the technical director for the Dacron business and the nylon business and the Lycra business. So I did that for a number of years. And then I had various other jobs. I went, I was asked to go to England to fix up a business that DuPont had acquired. And I went over there and sort of became the director of this company.
Uh-huh.
And once we got it fixed, we actually sold it. I thought we were going to, you know, it had been a very successful business in the past, but some things had gone wrong, so I was asked to go over and fix it. So I did. I mean, I had some very good people working there, and we got it fixed, and we got it quite profitable again. And then it was sold to Bayer. Bayer came in and bought it. Around about this time, I think I was invited to come to move into another business and run an initial public offering. DuPont had decided it was going. It had never had a successful initial public offering where it took a business public, and so I was asked to go and, you know, go and work with the Wall Street guys to take a business that that was fairly profitable, but to take it public. And so I spent a year or 18 months working on that, and you know, it became a big success. So that was another job that I had, in which I learned a lot, because I wasn't, I got to meet and know all the people, a lot of the guys on Wall Street, And I, you know, I knew how they worked and what was important in Wall Street and so on and so forth. So it was a good learning experience for me. And let me just see what else. I've written myself a few notes. I could tell you some other things.
Well, actually, I'm curious, you know, and unfortunately we're rounding out now to the final few minutes here. What
okay.
was it like, what were the differences, you know, between what you saw in Ireland and America? I mean, were there differences in the approach to the industry itself, you know, to chemical engineering? Were there pros and cons as to being in one place as opposed to the other?
Well, I think the truth was that in Ireland, most of, I mean, there were very good engineers there, but it was a small country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, consequently, it didn't really have the R&D, the research work going on to allow
sure.
them to bring in new things that were going to be fabulous and allow them to make a lot of money. It was, you know, they had very well-run companies that were making sort of standard chemical products. And so it wasn't nearly as exciting as working in something like Kevlar or Nomex or something where,
right.
You know, you were bringing in new products that, you know, hadn't existed 10, 15 years before. So I was fortunate that I'd got into, you know, I mean, eventually I went to Kevlar. I was the technical superintendent for Kevlar, and then later on I became the business director for Kevlar and the business director for Nomex. So I was business director for Kevlar and Nomex and Teflon Fibers, and then I went on and ran various other businesses in DuPont over the course of my, you know, 34 years or whatever it was I had with them. I also ran DuPont's only successful initial public offering, you know, where we took a company that hadn't been doing all that well. We fixed it up and we decided to spin it out of the company and, you know, and make it so we did an IPO, because it was interesting for me because I spent a lot of time with the guys in Wall Street and figured out what they knew and what they didn't know.
Right.
But it was an interesting process, and the IPO was very successful. So after that, I was asked to go over to England and run a company there that DuPont had acquired that made printing plates. And the idea was we'd do another initial public offering. But first of all, we had to get the business straightened out and get all the financials worked out so that we could show that we had a good business. And just about the time that we were ready to take it public, Bayer came in and bought it from DuPont. So, you know, I had thought, oh, maybe I'll be the CEO of this company, but Bayer bought it, so that was the end of that. So I came back to DuPont and worked in various other businesses. I was, you know, managing director in various businesses, and when it came time to I had worked in the textile business, in DuPont, the textile fibers business. You know, I'd worked in Kevlar. I'd been the business director for Kevlar and Nomex and Teflon, and I had worked in the in polyester nylon lycra business as well.
Sure.
But at one point, I was asked to. I had worked in polyester nylon lycra for a number of years. Then I went on, as I said, to work in Kevlar and various other places. And then it was decided that I should come back because we were going to do an initial public offering on our business, the nylon, Dacron, and lycra business. And so I was brought back in because I had run DuPont's only successful IPO.
Sure.
And I had worked in the business for a number of years as the technical director and so on and so forth. And
Dr. Keogh, I'm sorry, we're going to have to almost wrap it up, though. I do want to get you back on, though, so we can finish this the segment. But again, we are running out of time for tonight. I want to thank my guests for tonight. Again, Dr. Peter Kehoe. Again, we appreciate your time. This is such a great story, and I do hope that we can get you back on sometime very soon, maybe in the next week or two, to finish up the story for you. Okay?
No, I'll be happy to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Peter Kehoe.
Okay.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, this is Rob May with CMC Radio saying we'll see you soon. Have a great night, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.